Isn't he good? He's a great God that we worship and we honor and we love. Amen. Amen. Where's Robin? Is he around? There you go. Just come down, Robin. Come here, Jane. Rose, just come over. He's got you. I heard the Lord say to me today that you know about the breaking point. You've been there. You know that breaking point. And I heard the Lord say that you know need to know three things at that place, okay? And this is it. The first one is that he's for you. He's not against you. Hallelujah. The second thing is he's not holding back on you. He's positioning you. Hallelujah. And the third thing is he's not building the old you. He's building the new you. Amen. He's building the new you. What he's building is a steadfast, immovable you. Amen. And he gave me this scripture to just support this and just bring this home to you. It's from 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58, the very last part of it. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Amen. Amen. And God's got you. He's got this. Amen. He's on your side. He's positioning you. And I tell you what, he's building a better you through it. Amen. Amen. I just put this down for a second. Just pray with you. Everyone, just praying toward Jane at the moment. Father, we just thank you, Lord God. Thank you. You must be doing an amazing work in your life at the moment. I tell you, Jane. Building the better you, hallelujah, is his word. Hallelujah, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the better, Father God. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. And the strength we see being built, Father God, oh, Lord God, that will not just be for you, but for others, hallelujah, that you'll impart that to others, even when you pray for others and just stand with people and encourage people, hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for the steadfast, immovable Jane, Lord God. We thank you for that, Lord God. We thank you for that work that you're doing in her life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. We did, didn't we? God bless. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, as we're worshipping too, Noni, I really felt the Lord say, you know, that you've got such a soft heart, you know, a soft heart for people, but God wants it softer. You know, that you've made you've got a good soft profile, but the Lord wants your heart even softer. And I felt that, and it was almost like, well, how, Lord, will you do that? And the Lord says he's going to pour the oil in. He's going to pour more oil into your spirit, like his spirit in your spirit, an oil that will make you more supple and more soft than you've ever been before. If you've ever thought there's been some hard parts in your life as you reflect on your own life, he's saying he's pouring more oil in to make you as soft can be. I tell you what, your hugs are just going to rub off on people. If you give hugs to people, you're going to rub off. A new softness brings you another level in softness. And it's for you, but it's through you too. Amen. How many of you know, praise the Lord, that when God's gifts come on our life, they're not only to us, they're actually through us. Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting to know that, you know, when God's gifts come upon us, when God pours something into our life, he's got something for us, but it's also through us, you know, and he brings it into other people's lives. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, let's just continue this morning, because I believe that what we've shared a little bit this morning, and God's got more for us even through the message and through the word today, very much along those lines. So, amen. Why don't we find our seats and let the Lord continue. Thank you, team. Why don't we give the team a hand clap as they go. They're so dedicated at bringing us into that great place of God's presence. And amen. We've been getting into a series on being ambassadors for heaven. And how many of you know that we're called to represent heaven in our lives? And it's really a series on our job role, as representatives of Christ and his kingdom. And as Christians, in coming to salvation in Jesus Christ, we receive reconciliation with God. And then the Lord's design is that we become equipped with the message of reconciliation. He actually brings that truth into our lives, again, saving us, bringing us to close relationship with him, bringing us to a knowing of his presence and place in our lives. But then his purpose is that we'd take that out and bring that to others. And of course, we've been looking at that, how it is that we are saved. I love it, you know, when we appreciate the truth that, you know, God has. We have a testimony in our own lives of how we got saved. And, you know, those of you that have been in the church for a while have heard my testimony a few times over, how he got me and how he pulled me out of where I was and turned up with power and that I couldn't deny it. And of course, I was born again and saved way back there in 1983, way back when. So, you know, that's almost the hippie days. Actually, isn't it? You know, just coming out of the hippie days of the 70s. And yeah, there's a few people here who weren't even born in 1983, I know. But you know, it's an amazing thing that the God that we find in our lives today was alive and well in 1983. And I know because there was a whole group of us that got saved and through God's mighty hand and power in our lives. And of course, we need to take that message of how we got saved and share it with others. And of course, so that in sharing our testimonies with others, we can lead others to Christ. It's so important. Our testimony is such a tool in the hand of the Lord and bringing about his righteousness in others. Amen. And therefore, we've been looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, it says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making his appeal through us, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. And God made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In this last few weeks, we've been establishing this key job role, which is what people who have been reconciled to God should be engaged in. Because, you know, that we're called to represent the kingdom of heaven and share the message of reconciliation is such an important truth that we be about that job. The Apostle Paul speaks of the result of being reconciled to God in Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21, it says there, and once you were alienated from God and were hostile in your minds because of your evil deeds, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, unblemished, and blameless in his presence. These are great scriptures to remind ourselves and get a hold of and actually tuck in our heart. You know, it's not a condition that, you know, as we found, it's not a condition that we can produce ourselves. It's not produced by our works or our good behavior. It's the provision of God upon the cross and that established our right standing with God. And it's so important that we, you know, that to have an acknowledgement of our rightful place in his presence. And of course, that scripture really brings that out. What does it say? But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy, unblemished, and blameless. Get this, in his presence. In his presence. And we can carry his presence. We can walk around, you know, knowing that we've got the presence of God in our lives. And that's something different than the person that you bump into down the street who hasn't got it, you know. And we need to have a greater revelation of that, a greater understanding. When was the last time you came boldly into the presence of God like you belong there? In prayer. When was the last time you came like that? The answer should be the last time I prayed. Amen. Just tricking you now. But, you know, it's so important that we understand that our rightful place is in his presence, because that is the place where we're called to be, free from the sense of guilt, free from the sense of shame or unworthiness or something that happened in the past. We can walk free. Aren't you glad? Because of his work upon the cross for us, it still avails for us today, still works in our lives. I don't know about you, but when I became a Christian, I didn't become perfect. I know some of you thought that maybe that might have been the case, but no. I'll let you know. I didn't become perfect. In fact, if you're still not sure, ask Rosemary. She will let you know. Perfection was not something that happened after I got saved. And, you know, The funny thing about that is that we realize is that because we haven't got perfection, that we still need, you know, that work of his love in our lives, that work of his cross in our lives. And that even when we come into the presence of the Lord, that there's an acknowledgement of that. And I'll just show you what I'm talking about in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14 and 15. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to what we profess. This is, in other words, our confession, what we say. Let us hold firmly to what we profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. You know, that's the part where you get it wrong, isn't it? You know, those little moments when you're a bit weak. But we have one who was tempted in every way that we are, yet most importantly, and I say that, most importantly, yet was without sin. He had to be the sinless sacrifice. And we understand that, appreciate that. Verse 16, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence. In other words, without that sense of, you know, sin and guilt and unworthiness, that sense of, you know, not being good enough, not perfect enough that we could approach or even carry his presence in our lives. Let's not be like that. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You know, we can approach the throne in prayer, the throne room in prayer with confidence, not because of what we've done, but because of what he's done. Amen. And it's in these times that we connect with God in prayer and where our best work as ambassadors actually gets fulfilled and completed. When the Lord opens our eyes, when revelation flows to us, where we receive those insights and those visions and those dreams and those glimpses. And I'm, of course, more of a visual learner, but I still don't mind receiving that audible word from the Lord, you know, that that's so very clear for people in their lives. You know, God's will in heaven that needs to be done on earth sometimes requires, you know, God's people helping it along and bringing that message personally into people's lives. So very important. We saw last week how the Lord is able to change our view and he's able to get us to see as he sees. He has that best vantage point, doesn't he? He has that best vantage point. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. And you know what? What an advantage that is that we get to walk with him who knows the end from the beginning. Praise the Lord. That's the ultimate vantage point. And we get to see as he sees. Ha ha. It's the, you know, it's that spiritual advantage of sons and daughters that have the Father's heart and get to see what the Father sees. And of course, you know, we gain his heart. We're led by the Holy Spirit in our lives. And it becomes a way of life for all of us. Amen. Amen. You know, we recognized last week this his capacity to open our eyes of those that serve him in Second Kings last week. There, Second Kings chapter 6, and we just looked at it. Well, there's a little caption there as well. But sons and daughters have the Father's heart and see as the Father sees. See people through the eyes of love. Amen. See whatever he wants you to see. You know what I mean? Gives you little glimpses and insights and encouragements. Amen. For others. 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15. It says, when the servant of the man got up and went out early in the morning, as we know, the king of Israel had been besieged by the king of Aramea. And of course, that was Syria in those days, or in these days. But he got up and went out early in the morning. And an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. So he asked Elijah, oh, master, what are we to do? Now, he was the type of guy that brought the problem to the leadership rather than bringing the answer. But unfortunately, fortunately, Elijah knew what the answer was. And he says, oh, master, what are we to do? And he said, do not be afraid. First thing, don't be fearful. You know, when it seems that the enemy's around and about, don't be fearful. Do not be afraid, Elijah answered. For those who are with us are more than those that are with them. And then Elijah prayed, oh Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the hills were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. Great scripture, great word, but great picture of the Lord opening our eyes so we can see the true nature of things and how things really are. You know, if we were mindful of our heavenly resources that are available to us to fulfill our work as ambassadors for Christ and ambassadors for heaven, we'd spend more time in our prayer room and less time distracted by the affairs of this world. Amen? Not getting hard on anyone, because we all do it, don't we? We get a little distracted by this and our responsibilities and you know, pursuits that we have that, you know, can be distracted. But I tell you, we need to give time to God on a daily basis for Him to just revelate with us. Amen? Anyone know what I'm talking about? Revelate with us, where He just downloads and gives us that sense of direction. God wants our eyes opened, not so that we can get goosebumps, but for our work of God's kingdom to be completed on earth. He wants that for our lives. Amen. If the angels of heaven were engaged in the purpose of God in the Old Testament times, how much more should we expect the help of the heavenly host under the new covenant, under these New Testament times? How much more should we expect that? You know, in the book of Daniel, we see Belshazzar, and of course that's Daniel's Babylonian handle, on the banks of the River Tigris, praying and having fasted for 3 weeks. There he is on the banks of the River Tigris. And he receives a visitation from the angel of heaven. And we see it, pick it up in Daniel. Daniel 10, verse 12 through to 14, it says, "Do not be afraid, Daniel," he said, "for from the first day that you purposed to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard." Hallelujah. Isn't that good news? "Your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. However, the prince of the kingdom of Persia opposed me for 21 days. And then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the later days, for the vision concerns those days." Great scriptures. And we see, if we go on to the next one in verse 15, it says, "And while he was speaking these words to me, I set my face toward the ground and became speechless." Some people don't understand when people fall down in the spirit, but I reckon that's about the best description of one right happening right there. Is he became speechless and he set my face toward the ground and became speechless. "And suddenly one with the likeness of a man touched my lips and opened my mouth and said to the one standing before me, 'My Lord, because of the vision, I am overcome with anguish and I have no strength. How can I, your servant, speak with you, my Lord? Now I have no strength, nor is any breath left in me.' And again, with the one with the likeness of the man touched me and strengthened me." Do not be afraid. First thing, first step, don't be afraid. Don't be fearful. We come into situations and circumstances where we need to know that, hey, God's bigger than that. God's bigger than this situation. God's bigger than any of that. And we need to have that confidence. "Do not be afraid, you who are highly precious," he said. "Peace with you. Be strong now. Be very strong." I tell you, we're encouraged to be as strong as we can be. Amen. What an excellent insight into the work of the kingdom of God and the battle that rages in the heavenlies as well. And for the kingdom of God and his will to be done on the earth. Amen. "For from the first day Daniel prayed, heavenly help was on the way." But, you know, certainly in my earlier days as a Christian, I sort of wondered and pondered around these things. How come when you pray, God doesn't answer immediately? Why is that? You know, what would cause that to happen? Because we see here that there's a battle going on. Even in Old Testament times, there's a battle going on in the heavenlies. The angels are warring and there's an answer coming, but there's delay. Sometimes we need to see what Daniel 10 says and just remind ourselves that, hey, we need to just keep standing and praying, just doing what we're doing. Not fearful, not afraid, not concerned, not worried, not anxious, not getting stressed about it, but just keep standing and praying. God's told us that he's faithful, and we need to believe that. Amen. Psalm 34 and verse 15, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry." Praise the Lord. And because we are precious and highly precious in his sight, we need to connect with God to stand and pray, knowing that heaven hears and heaven swings into action when we pray. Amen. And then, having prayed, our main job is to keep our faith out there. You know, when you pray, just real simple understanding that right here. But when you pray, you release your faith. Your faith is released out, okay? And the whole job after you've done that is to keep it out there and not bring it back in or cause it to hit the ground with a thud with your unbelief. With something that you either, you know, feel or an anxiety or a fear or a worry that it might overtake you to feel that maybe you haven't done enough. I need to do something more now. I need to jump in and do this or do that and try 20 things. When God just wants you to release your faith and keep praying and thanking him. You say that the good saying is that the highest expression of our faith, get this, is thanksgiving. And when you pray, it's released. Faith goes out. And then from there on, what you do is just keep giving thanks. You say, well, how long do I have to take? Well, as long as it takes. The Bible doesn't say how long. I think it was Kenneth Hagin who said that, you know, if you're prepared to believe forever, it won't take that long. It's a good truth, though, to just consider. You know, how consistent are we? Some people want to go for 3 weeks and then give up. I'm doing this for 3 weeks and then I'm out of here. But I like it how that, you know, after 3 weeks, you know, he was Belshazzar on the banks of the Tigris River, and it's probably his favourite prayer spot, probably all worn out from going in there every day and just praying. But there he was after 3 weeks and he's still praying. And the angel turns up with an explanation of why it took him so long to get there, or why it's, you know, and that, you know, that he is highly precious. How about that? That's how we're all highly precious in his sight. And, you know, when we pray, heaven hears. But we've got to keep praying and keep thanking him and keep thanking him and keep thanking him. You know, we get into the habit now, we start our prayer time by just starting by saying, well, we thank you today, Lord, because we just continue to thank him for what he's doing. See, faith in action is confident expectation. And my encouragement to everyone here today is be in faith, not fear. The fight we're called to fight is the fight of faith, the good fight of faith, and confident that heaven has heard and that if we need to pray differently, he will show us. That's as simple as it gets. If we need to do something different, he'll show us what it is that we need to do that's different. Amen. He'll lead us and guide us. And it's a battle that's mostly fought on our knees. I really thought about this and thought that maybe we need to start, you know, carpet layers. You have those pads on their knees when they go into the workplace. They've got these really good little pads because they're on their knees all the time. I thought we should be handing those out, issuing them on the way out as people come to church. Now, come on, have a good week. You've got to pray hard, you know. Handing them, you know, little... And bless Paul, we're praying this morning and Paul grabbed a cushion. I thought, well, that's wisdom right there. And he's down on his knees and he's got a cushion under him. I'm going, that's the wisdom. You're going to spend a bit of time on your knees, you know, just do it with comfort, you know. Hallelujah. But, you know, if this was not an existing condition in New Testament times, Peter would never have taught that we have an adversary. Still at large, still at work, and a combat and a battle that's going on, a conflict in the heavens. If that wasn't true, we wouldn't have been taught that there was an adversary. And he's still at work. He's still attempting to rob, kill, and destroy. He's still out there. And his and recognize it's deception that is his weapon. That is his best weapon. He is a liar. And he's a liar from the beginning, Jesus told him. 1 Peter chapter 5, and we'll just have a look at this. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 through to 9, it says, be sober, minded and alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in your what? Your faith. When you released it, stand firm in that. And in the knowledge that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. In other words, you know, we're all in the same boat, you know. It's the good ship mercy, amen. You know, the temptation in the wilderness was one up on the scoreboard for the kingdom of God and zero for the kingdom of darkness, because every lie that the devil tried to put to Jesus, which interestingly enough came from the Word of God, but it was twisted. So Jesus, answered with the Word of God, answered with the Word of God, answered with the Word of God, and of course after it, the devil had to flee. But who came and ministered to Jesus after the temptation in the wilderness? Who came and ministered to him? The angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. I think sometimes we need to get a better awareness of the angels. You know, the angels that are at work, the heavenly host. Those that are called to minister unto the heirs of salvation, the Bible says. You know, I'm terrible at watching animal kingdom type sort of documentaries. I usually get bored with the detail. And, you know, maybe some of the science behind it, I usually get bored with that. And particularly where documentaries about wild animals chasing other animals. You know, I start to go, no, don't catch it, you know. I start to get really sorry for the one that's being, you know, caught. And I've turned off more docos like that than any other, I think. And because you see what the lions do. And, you know, they are out there stalking, you know, roaming around like a roaring lion, seeking whom they may devour. And notice, you know, that they go after the weak ones. They go after the ones that are on the fringes, that have been, you know, found themselves either discouraged or you know, at the point where they just, you know, can't go on any longer. It's just like the enemy to aim for the believers, you know, that are and try and take them down. Those that have been discouraged, those that have been maybe beaten through a difficult, you know, maybe feeling like they have no more fight in them. And of course, what we have to understand that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but I tell you what, they're mighty through God. You know, if you're facing adversity in your life and in spiritual matters, we have to recognize that our weapons are different. You know, you cannot take to the spiritual enemy, you know, with the cricket bat in any physical way, you know what I mean? There's no physical fight against the enemy. You can't show him your karate certificate, you know. I've got a green belt, by the way, just in case anyone's asking. Johnson managed to get a junior brown belt. He was one away from getting his black. So you know, we've got a bit of fight in us, but how many of you know that none of that helps if you're fighting against the enemy, you know? None of that helps. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you know, says this. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. In other words, a physical capacity. You know, I could run off 6 carters right here in the front of the church and the devil wouldn't be impressed one little bit. But the minute I get on my knees and start to pray, he'll be worried. He'll be concerned. And the same in your life as well. Amen. For although we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but get this part, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. And I wanted us just to be reminded today that believers need to get to the place where they know how to fight with the mighty weapons that God's given us. And first and foremost is our prayer life and our faith released and left out there to work, sending it out. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 to 13, and this is just such a great passage of scripture. I'm really, really blessed by this every time I read it. It says, finally, all of you be like-minded and sympathetic. Love as brothers. Be tender-hearted and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. We bless and we are blessed in return. For whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are inclined to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Who can harm you if you are zealous for what is good? Amen. Steadfast and immovable, Jane, I tell you. Who can harm us if we be zealous for what is good? Amen. And you know, we need to take some of that truth today and actually make an application. You know, I'd like us to finish today with a consideration for maybe our own lives in some way where we may maybe take a fresh stock take of how we're going individually. How are we going? What's my prayer life like? If I was given a pair of knee pads on the way out the door, would I really use them? You know, we need to just take a moment to just have a little look in the mirror of the Word. And the thing is, the Bible is described as a mirror, isn't it? And we can look to the Word of God, we can look in the mirror, and you know, as always, whenever I look in the mirror, I see adjustments that are needed. And we're all the same today. When we take the Word of God and we actually look at it and see it as the mirror, and we can see that there's little adjustments that we all need to make. Amen. Something that's a little out of place. Something that just needs to be maybe combed back into place or something like that. But let's be the people that go to the mirror Word and decide to make those adjustments that are needed. Why don't we all stand to our feet this morning and pray. You know, I think more than anything is that we would be a people that pray with our hearts today and pray that the Lord would open our eyes, that we would be able to see as He sees. Oh, Father, we thank You today. Thank You, Heavenly Father, for new sight, Lord God, just as you did, Father God, for Elisha's servant, Father. That You opened his eyes and let him see what resources were available to him. Lord, that You opened his eyes and let him see that, Lord, those that are with us are more than those that are against us, Father. And Lord God, that we have the heavenly host, the angels of heaven, Lord God, that are on our side, Father, working with us. And that, Lord God, as we pray, as we be a people of the Word, as we be a people that decree and declare, Lord God, what Your Word says over our lives, and as we release our faith as a people, Father, we know, Lord God, that You're faithful to perform it, Father. That Your Word will not return void, Father. It will accomplish that for which it is sent. And so, Father, we as a people, Father, just return to the ways of Your Word, Father God. Lord, we look in the mirror today and see ourselves clearly, Father, and where adjustments are needed. And we ask Your blessing, Lord. Lord, we ask the help of Your Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do thank You, Lord, because You're so ever so gentle with us, Lord. Ever so loving, Father. And we thank You, Lord. And we see the fruit, Lord. We see the fruit in our lives, Lord God. We see the outcome of doing Your Word and not just being hearers, Father. We give You praise and thanks for it today in the mighty name of Jesus. And we declare ourselves to be those ambassadors for heaven. No matter where we go, no matter where we are, Lord God, just remind us, Father, that we represent You and that You're ready to use us in the lives of others, Father. Give You thanks for these things today in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen. You know, just as we finish, I really feel that we just, you know, we don't just sing a song, you know, so don't be moving around or anything, but let's just take that moment to quietly reflect in our own hearts how we might make an adjustment individually. Amen. To see God's glory in our lives more often, more frequently. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want to make the invitation today just as we close and as we sing this last song. If you do have a need in your life, you have a prayer need, a healing need, if you have some set of circumstances, you're more than welcome to come down and pray down the front. Rose and I are just ready to pray with you and maybe some of the others as well. But I just encourage you this morning that you're welcome to come on down. Don't hold back. Don't think, oh, well, we'll do it next week. You can do it this week. Hallelujah. Why put it off? And I also just want to encourage you, if you're here today and you've heard things about being in relationship with God, knowing Him, hearing His voice, all those things, and thought, that's a level I'm not really sure about. I tell you, I'd love to pray a prayer with you. Love to pray a simple prayer. You know, we call it the prayer of acceptance. We call it the prayer, the sinner's prayer, the prayer of salvation. We have a few names for it, but it's a prayer that brings you out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's a full acknowledgement of what Jesus did on the cross for us. And I really encourage you this morning that if you haven't prayed that prayer before, it's a prayer that will make a difference for eternity. Amen. When you pray it from your heart and believe it as you pray it. Amen. And say it with your mouth. So just encourage you, it's available. We're just going to finish with this last song and then we're going to dismiss. We'll have some morning tea as well, so don't hang around. I should say, don't rush off. Hang around and have a cup of tea and a bicky with us. I think there'll be more than a bicky too, I think. So God bless you all. Amen.